Today we're going to focus on a very important aspect, and that is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 39. There are so many aspects to cover, and every one of them could be a sermon in itself. So let me try to go through all of them within the time limit. We're going to focus on Jesus cleansed the sinners. And you will see that in this whole chapter, it is all very well connected. And on surface, we see that it doesn't seem to be that well connected. And they are individual stories, but they are all very well connected. And we're going to see how they are connected and how it can be applied to our lives. So the encounters of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would encounter a leper. He would encounter a paralyzed man. He would encounter a tax collector. And then he would give this discourse with the Pharisees and scribes, the new versus old. And let us now first look at the discourse about the leper. And we have read in God's Word, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16 just now. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city. The moment you hear and read in the scriptures these phrases, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, it is not a mistake. It is not by chance. There is an intention that God will bring to the people and recorded in scriptures for our benefit to see what the Lord Jesus Christ will do. So when he was in that certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. What is leprosy? Leprosy, of course, is a kind of disease. It is incurable. It will hit your flesh. It will be a slow death. It hits the immune system. And it hits the voice box, and a lot of sores, a lot of boils, and some of them, their nose may drop off, their ears may drop off, and they look horrible, ugly, and they look frightening. And it can also spread. So leprosy is a kind of picture of sin. And in this case, what happened to this man with leprosy? Behold, a man full of leprosy. He was not only leprosy stricken, he was full of leprosy. He was very, very sick. And to the extent that no cure. He must have sought many, many ways of getting himself cured. Nobody liked to have leprosy. And when this man realized that he is in such a state, he's a man full of leprosy. Usually, people who are with leprosy, the lepers, they will come together because no other people will want to be with them. They will be together, outcast, outside the city, and they are there looking at each other. And maybe they will eat with each other because no others who are well will be near them at all. This man was alone. And maybe his leprosy was really bad. A man full of leprosy. And what did he do? Who seeing Jesus, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have heard of the Lord Jesus. He must have heard of all the accounts that the Lord Jesus could heal people, could heal the sick, could heal those who are incurable. And who seeing Jesus, he fell on his face. Humility, coming before the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no encounter with the Lord Jesus before. He must have just heard of this great man, the Lord Jesus. And he was seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, begged of him, asked him. And what did he ask? Lord, if thou wilt, if you are willing, Lord, thou canst make me clean. If you are willing. He is not presumptuous that this great healer, this great teacher would heal him. He's not presumptuous. And on top of that, he knew that this great healer, whose name is Jesus, is able to heal him. So he's not even concerned or battling with this thought of whether Jesus could heal him. He knew Jesus could heal him. So he asked in this prayer, Lord, if you are willing. If you are willing. Have we ever come across our own lives whereby we have got different, very difficult situations in our lives? Difficult situations that we find unsolvable. And the more we try to do it in our own way, the worse it gets. And we've tried to find help from so many ways. And if you were to look into this aspect of eternity, going to heaven, many people have been trying all ways and means, and you would have seen it at least during the Chinese New Year period, all kinds of so-called gods that they are worshipping and that they are trying to appease them, and trying all ways and means to reach heaven in their afterlife. And they have tried all ways and means. But they could not until they find the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, this leper said, if you are willing, thou canst heal me. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? The Lord Jesus Christ say, I will be thou clean. Our Lord Jesus is ever ready for a sinner that come before him to repent of our sins and to accept him as a Lord and Savior. This leper, on that very day, in his desperation, he went to the Lord Jesus Christ, will you heal if you are willing? Can you heal me of my leprosy? And I've been an outcast. And you can imagine the voice box was also infected. And he could hardly speak. But with that soft, coarse voice, he asked the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. And what happened to him? Immediately, he was clean. And we remind ourselves that if leprosy is like a picture of sin, and when we come before the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, and all of us would have memorized this verse before. Let's read this together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we were to come before the Lord, Lord, will you help me? I need to find a way to heaven, to be reconciled to the true Almighty God. Of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, let's come back again to the story. And in verse 12, we see that this man, full of leprosy, seeing Jesus, fell on his face, besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if you are willing. And in any of our aspects of our life, the difficulties and challenges in our lives, don't make it a presumption of just barging unto the Lord and asking God to help us. And God, you must help me. Like this leper, Lord, if you are willing. It is very important that our entire life is in accordance with God's will. And if you are willing, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord Jesus Christ put forth his hand and touched him. This leper is untouchable. He is unclean. He is contagious. Nobody will come near to him. The Lord Jesus Christ put forth his hand and touched him, and saying, I will, be thou clean. And what happened? And immediately the leprosy departed from him. That is our God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he created us in his own image. And he knows the entire physiology of our body, and he can overcome all the effects of sin. Here, immediately, the leprosy departed from him. And if we were to come before the Lord and say, God, I've heard of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to come to believe in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus will accept us. And we repent of our sins, and the Lord Jesus will cleanse us of all our sins. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed this leper, immediately the leprosy departed from him. And verse 14, and he charged him to tell no man. Why? So that the Lord Jesus Christ can focus on his work and not having to deal with thousands and thousands of people that will flock to him, because he has his work and he has his purpose and he has to travel. So please don't tell anybody, but go and give thanks to God. But go and show thyself, in verse 14, show thyself to the priest. Why show to the priest? Because when he showed to the priest that my leprosy is healed, the priest, in accordance with Moses' commandment, an offering, cleansing according to Moses commanded for a testimony unto them, the priest will check. The priest will then confirm that this man, his whole body is healed of leprosy. And therefore this man can be reconciled back to society and reconciled back to his family and his friends. Otherwise, he has to stay outside the city because this contagious disease, leprosy, nobody wants to be near. And it will infect the whole community. So this leper is to go to the priest. And that's what he should do. And so that he can be approved, and so that he can be confirmed that he is clean. And in verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. This leper could not contain his joy, could not contain the good news that he has heard, that he had to tell people. He had to tell people that he was a leper. He was full of leprosy. And he met this man, Jesus Christ, and he was healed immediately. So we can see that this man was a great ambassador going around telling people that how he was healed. And it's good news spreading. And how has it spread? Multitudes came together. He is a great ambassador telling people that he has been healed. And multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities, healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to withdraw himself into the wilderness and prayed. Because if there are too many people coming in, the Lord Jesus Christ need to do his work, and he doesn't want to be distracted by too many of these healings. So we can see from this particular story, Jesus cleansed the sinners. First, it's a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of the effect of sin. We are sick. Do we know that we are sick? Do we know that our souls need help? Like the leper, Spiritually, we have sinned against God. We have rejected God as our creator, and no one on earth can give us a cure. Not the kind of religion that you see on earth. And the religion that will say that when you do good, you can get brownie points and you can go to heaven. That doesn't help. Religion that asks you to climb the ladder and through good works, through all the philanthropies, it will not work. So, this particular aspect, Jesus cleansed the sinner, cleansed the leper. We have to take it to heart. And when we see that the leper was healed, we have to search our own hearts. Do we need to be healed? And today, this is the day of salvation. If any of us have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day that you come to believe and to be healed of your spiritual, horrible spiritual illness. And we are all born sinners. And the moment we are born, we are sinners. And we can see a lot of children, a lot of babies here today. They look so lovely. They look so cute. But when they are born, they are sinners. And likewise, all of us, we are sinners. But when we come before the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved by grace. And if we were to come before the Lord Jesus will always say, I will, to heal us and to forgive us of our sins and to be cleansed. Believe and accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. That will be healed spiritually, will be made whole in Christ. Just like the leper was made whole immediately. And likewise, we will be also made whole immediately. And we have read our memory verse. And we'll be made new in Christ. Not in any other ways, but made new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let us read this together again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To that leper, certainly, all the leprosy is gone. It's healed immediately, whole, never to come back again. And the priest would have approved it and certified it. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we were to accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, we will be cleansed likewise. And immediate, we will put on the robe of righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ and be accepted by God. And even if we were to die today, we will go to heaven, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And what a blessed hope. So, we have seen the encounter with the leper. Now we see the encounter with the paralyzed man. And Luke 5:17 to 19, we read just now, and it came to pass on a certain day. There is an intention here. There is a purpose here. And the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching as he was teaching. And he was teaching in a house, in just a normal house. And there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. What are Pharisees? They are these Jewish sect that have this self-righteousness, and the Lord Jesus Christ called them hypocrites. They are far away from God, and yet they pretend that they are religious leaders, and they will fast twice a week, and that they will have their prayers in public, and let people think them as very pious and very religious people. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the scribes, these are like the theologians of the days of Judaism. And that they were sitting by. And why were they sitting by? They were sitting by to see how to catch Jesus Christ and how to frame him, because they are not happy with the Lord Jesus. And they have heard of all the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and the Lord Jesus has got so many followers. They are not happy because their Judaism seems to be at odds and at stake, and their station in life seems to be questioned. So the Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, cynically looking and hearing the Lord Jesus. And also there are others which will come out of every town of Galilee, of Judea, of Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. There are many people that were healed. You can imagine in that house, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, and the Lord Jesus Christ was healing. And then there came a very interesting group. And behold, verse 18, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Let us have a look. What is this palsy? That is a man which was taken with a palsy. This palsy, in today's term, we know it as, well, paralysis. And there's so many kinds of palsies in sickness in this world. This paralysis, especially that which is accompanied by involuntary tremors, fits, shakes, and uncontrollable, and paralyzed, weakness, or problems with using the muscles, and twitch, and yet paralyzed, cannot use the muscles, cannot use the hands, cannot use the legs. It's bedridden. And when he was bedridden, we can see from various different perspectives. This man, this paralyzed man, must have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have heard, maybe he could have heard, that the leper was healed. And the news went abroad, and so many people knew. And this paralyzed man would say that, I really want to go and see and meet this Jesus so that he can heal me. And this man, he has got good friends. And look at his friends. His friends knew that Jesus can heal. And they were so convinced that Jesus can heal and can heal their friend who was bedridden. And they took strength, they got their strength, they got the bed, four of them carry this man. It's not easy to carry this man from, we do not know where he lived, and coming into this place, this house, whereby the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. So the friends came, and the friends and this man just believe that Jesus can heal him. And what happened? And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, there were lots of people in that house, and this man could not enter. These friends with a bed and with that paralyzed man just could not enter. Excuse me, can we go in? Just could not enter. People were inside there, and they've got their places, and there was teaching going on, and this group just could not get in because of the multitude. They went up upon the housetop. They say that, how did they go up the housetop? In those days, those houses, they have got flat roof. And the houses, the staircase to go up to the flat roof is not from inside. The staircase is outside. It's from outside, then you can go by the staircase to go to the flat roof. So that's what they did. They went upon the housetop, most likely taking the staircase outside the house, because inside the house it's impossible to get in. Outside the house, and went up to the rooftop, the housetop. and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. You think it is so easy to crack open the roof? You go and try. Which means that it is almost like this. There were lots of people in that room, and the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. And you could just feel that the dust begins to come down from the ceiling. And not only the dust grew more and more. And what on earth is happening up there? And the teaching continued, and the people were so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ teaching. There's a small hole. What is that small hole? The small hole became bigger and bigger. You know how big it is to bring that paralyzed man? Can that paralyzed man come in vertically? No, it has to be horizontally. And it has to be quite a big hole. The poor owner of that house, the roof was broken into, and there was a big hole up there. And somehow the friends were so creative to find ropes and maybe to let that person down. And they were so convinced, and which means faith. They were so sure that if this paralyzed man, their good friend, was able to reach the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus will be able to heal him. By whatever means, I'm sorry, guy, your house, I've broken it. There's a hole on the roof. I do not know what will happen if there's going to be rain, but I don't care. I'm just going to come bring that my friend down. So, what did verse 20? And when he saw their faith, when the Lord Jesus Christ saw their faith, that they broke through the roof, broke through the tiles, broke through the concrete, and let down this man in front of all the people, the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The friends must be thinking, I came here to be healed. It's paralysis. It's palsy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees, remember those guys, the hypocrites, theologian of Judaism, of the traditions, man's traditions, they are expert in forming that, to the extent that they led people away from the true and living God. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, and they began to mumble amongst themselves. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Today we came here, we found him, we caught him. He said, what did he say again? He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Who can forgive sins but God alone? In this, their theology was correct. Only God can forgive sins. No human beings can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right. And then they were mumbling amongst themselves, reasoning amongst themselves, and they thought the Lord Jesus Christ did not hear. Even though they were there trying to catch the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to frame him, they were also a little bit of a coward. They did not speak out loud. Hey, did you say sins are forgiven? And debated with the Lord Jesus Christ aloud. No. They were just reasoning amongst themselves. But verse 22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is fully man, he is fully God. He could read the thoughts, he could read the minds of those scribes and Pharisees. Answering, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Excuse me, did we say anything to you? What reason ye in your hearts? Of course, those guys were a little bit startled. Maybe didn't say anything. But in their mind, they were already talking amongst themselves. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This man say that he can forgive sins. And when that paralyzed man came down from the roof, he said, forgive sins? What on earth is this? The Lord Jesus Christ said. Which is easier? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Maybe they thought that, huh, he's just saying that your sins are forgiven thee. Anybody can say your sins are forgiven thee, but he is not God. But he's just mumbling out of his mouth. Words is so cheap, can just say. But the Lord Jesus Christ said it. I know your hearts. I know your hearts because you're questioning me. You're questioning the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he is really God. And because if he is really God, then he can forgive sins. So you're questioning whether Jesus is really God. And God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven thee, or to rise up and walk? Then the Lord Jesus, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Listen, scribes and Pharisees. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, the paralyzed man, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, took up his own bed and departed to his own house, glorifying God. There you are. You're asking the Lord Jesus Christ whether he is God. Only God can forgive sins. Who can heal this paralyzed man? And suddenly the friends who brought him there would know that he is paralyzed. So the Lord Jesus Christ told the scribes and Pharisees, and in front of all the people, and in front of the paralyzed man, arise, take up thy couch. This authenticates the Lord Jesus Christ that what he say is true. Man, your sins are forgiven thee. And what was the response of all of them? And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today, that indeed God is in our midst. Jesus is Lord, is Christ, the Messiah, God Almighty. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. And of course, those scribes and Pharisees, they were amazed, that's for sure, but they did not glorify God. It's all the others who were there. And these scribes and Pharisees are still trying to pin down the Lord Jesus Christ, to frame him in such a way, and all of us knew that all the way to the cross, to get him to be killed and nailed on the cross. Jesus cleansed the sinners. Jesus is God. And here, in this particular account of healing of the paralyzed man, he proved that he alone can forgive sins. And it was authenticated by that miracle. Jesus' proclamation of forgiving sins was authenticated by the healing of the paralyzed man. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, thy sins are forgiven thee first. And after that, the miracle of healing of the paralyzed man. And that authenticated the Lord Jesus Christ's proclamation. So again, we come back to this understanding. Made new. The paralyzed man, he could take up his couch, his bed, he could walk, he could go home, and the people were amazed and glorified God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it again. Ready, go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as this paralyzed man, his sins are forgiven. Your sins and my sins can also be forgiven. If we come before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come before the Lord Jesus Christ knowing that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save, no others. And this is why we share the gospel. And this is why we have the Friday gospel meeting. We're giving out leaflets. You send your WhatsApp messages to your friend to invite them to come. And we also put on Facebook so that those people who see will be able to come and invite them. Just like these four men who took their friends to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be healed by the Lord Jesus. And we want our friends to be healed spiritually, that they can come to believe in the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and that their sins are totally forgiven. And the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive our sins. The next encounter was with the tax collector. And still with this whole perspective of Jesus cleansed the sinners. In Luke 5, 27 to 28, and after these things, after the leper, after the paralyzed man, after they have seen the miracles, he went forth and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. What was so controversial about this whole thing? Who are the publicans? Publicans were despised Jews who collaborated with the Roman Empire. They are the traitors. You are the Jews and you work with the Roman Empire and the Roman people to come and collect taxes from us, because they were best known for collecting tolls or taxes. They're commonly described as tax collectors. Do the people love them? No, they hate them. Why? Because the Roman Empire, in order to finance the emperor's wishes of making the empire greater and in Rome. So you can see that there's a lot of taxation imposed, and the burden was placed on the people whom they have conquered. And in Judea, in this place, they were the Jews. And the Jews were having trades. And the Jews also had made a lot of money. And they are businessmen. And a lot of them are rich. And many of them were also poor. And maybe the rich ones will bribe these guys so that they will pay less taxes. And these publicans are notorious people. First, they are able to record down. They are very, very good in recording how much you owe me and how much you owe the Roman government. You did not pay this tax. I'm coming after you. You did not pay. I'm going to add in more taxes, more burden on you. I don't have enough money. All right. You don't have enough money. I'll lend you some money. And when I lend you money, I'm going to raise very high interest rates on you so that you can use the money to pay me and you'll be forever in that debt. It's a debt trap. And the people in that place, the Jews, just despise them. These are horrible people. They are just traitors. They are our own kind, and yet they are working for the Roman people, the Roman soldiers, the Roman government. We hate them. Now in Luke 57:28, and after these things, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went forth and saw a publican, saw the tax collector. What was his name? Levi, sitting at the receipt of the custom. And who was Levi? If you were to look also in other portions of scripture, Levi is most likely Matthew, who was chosen to be Jesus' disciple and wrote the gospel according to Matthew. And he records meticulously a lot of things. He is a good recorder. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Levi, follow me. And also you would read commentators saying that Matthew could be a Christian name for Levi. And here it is that it is God's gift, the gift of Yahweh. So follow me. And what did Levi do? He left all. He rose up and followed him. Basically, he became a Christian. And not only did he become a Christian, he left all behind and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did Levi do? He was so happy that his sins are forgiven. He had repented of his sins. He's now a new creature. He is a Christian and he wants to invite his friends. And verse 29, and Levi made the Lord Jesus Christ a great feast in his house. He must have, ordered or cooked or bought such a great amount of food. Great feast. What is a great feast that to have gone to? Maybe like a buffet, a big one. And this is not only a feast. This is a great feast in his house. And which means that Levi was a rich man. And how did Levi become a rich man? Remember, he was a tax collector. The Roman government would have given him a good salary. And maybe Levi, at that time, before he became a Christian, he was like all the other publicans and tax collectors that would also receive bribes. And he was rich. And he made a great feast unto the Lord Jesus in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others, in other portions of scriptures mentioned other sinners, that sat down with them. Our dear Levi, who were his friends? His friends were the publicans, of course. His friends were the tax collectors. Hello, I want to have a great feast in my house. I'm going to tell you a very good news. Come, I invite you. I invite you, this great master, Jesus. He has come into our midst and I am following him. I'm not going to do my publican work anymore. I quit. I resign. I made a great feast. Come. Come to my house, a great company of the publicans. And some would have come out of curiosity, what has happened to this Levi guy that has invited us? And they all came. And most of them would not have repented of their sins, would not have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know what has happened to Levi, the publican, Levi, the tax collector. So they invited them of others and sat down with them. The Lord Jesus Christ sat down with the sinners in the house of this tax collector with the Jews really hated. Look at 30, verse 30. Remember the hypocrites, the scribes, and the Pharisees? They're always lurking around to pin down the Lord Jesus Christ. They're always lurking around to see how they can hit the Lord Jesus in things that they would, in their own perspective, the Lord Jesus Christ has done wrong. Verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Huh? Do you know that those are tax collectors? And they are all the other friends of them, and their friends of them are suddenly the sinners' community. We are holy people. We are scribes. We are Pharisees. We don't eat with such sinners. Why do you eat and drink with publicans, tax collectors, and sinners? And asking the disciples. They did not ask the Lord Jesus Christ directly. But the Lord Jesus, verse 31, answering, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It is very, very clear. It's only when you're sick you need to go to a doctor. And if you're not sick, you don't need to go to a doctor. So that's basically what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Verse 32, the Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And these guys in the home of Levi, the publicans and the other sinners, but I'm come to call the sinners to repentance. If you scribes and Pharisees think that you are so righteous, I don't come for you. It's not for you. Don't make all these remarks. I came not to call the righteous. You call yourself the righteous, right? You fast twice a week. You pray the fantastic prayer in public. You give the alms and you give the tithes and you give the offerings to God and you blow the trumpet and you have all kinds of men's traditions of your Mishnah. Oh, you're righteous, huh? You are so good, huh, scribes and Pharisees? I came not to call you, but I came to call the sinners to repentance. This is a sarcasm and a rebuke to the scribes and the Pharisees. And the scribes and Pharisees, wow, they thought that they are smart. Now they want to trick the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said unto him, haha, why do the disciples of John, who is John? John the Baptist. Why do the disciples of John fast often? It's not only me, eh? John the Baptist disciples, they fast often and they make prayers. And likewise also, you know who I am? The Pharisees, the disciples of the Pharisees. We fast twice a week, maybe like usually they fast on Monday and Thursday, and they make prayers, and then the whole community will be able to hear their pious prayers. And likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours, what are your disciples doing? Your disciples came to Levi's house, eat and drink with these sinners? I do not see much of a good in all of you. Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ could have just perished them and melt them. But verse 34. And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Basically is to say, have you seen people going into a wedding dinner fasting? Hello, I am going to a wedding dinner. There'll be 9 courses. Shark's fin. No more shark's fin. Fish more. All right. Roast chicken. Pea duck. I came here to fast. I'm not eating. Why aren't you eating? This is... Why aren't you eating? This feast is for you. I am righteous. I am holy. I fast. Hey, if you want to fast, you can fast on your other days, okay? You can fast on your whatever days. And there are situations in the Bible where a person could fast. Yom Kippur, for example, then they can fast. Or if they are, if they face with the difficult situations in their life, they need to focus their mind on prayer, they can fast. But excuse me, we are in a wedding dinner and you want to fast? Well, you can fast. Go ahead and fast. I will eat the pipa duck. I will eat the adobo. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken. But first of all, who's the bride? Where's the bride? Where's the bride and bridegroom? The bride is the church. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is with them. This is celebration, people. In Levi's house, Now, it certainly is a celebration of Levi's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus was in their midst. The bridegroom is with them. Why should you fast? Celebrate. But the days will come, verse 35, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. And then shall they fast in those days. And the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about his death. And you can see that the scribes and the Pharisees, they are angry. They are so angry. Maybe their face is red. So angry because they have been rebuked. So before we go on that part, Jesus cleansed the sinners. Jesus is God. He came to call sinners to repentance, and he called Levi, and Levi straight away accepted, and Levi followed him. Cleansed. Jesus chose Levi, who is Matthew, the publican, that is a tax collector, the despicable tax collector. But this tax collector now is no longer a tax collector. He's a Christian, and he resigned from his job. And Levi repented and accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and reached out to his fellow publicans with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, who have tasted of salvation in the Lord Jesus, we can go out and reach out to our fellow friends. God has placed you. Not every one of you become pastor in this church. Do you realize that? Where did God place you? In the place where you are, some of you are domestic helpers. God placed you there for a purpose. It is a very special job. You reach out to your employers. You reach out to your employer's family. God has placed you there in your office. God has placed you there as a boss. As a boss. And you have your team. God has placed you there. It's not because we are so good and so clever, but because God has placed you there. And just like Levi, he reached out to his fellow publicans with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has placed you there to be a teacher. The children in the school, your colleagues, God has placed you in different places, people. There is a purpose. God has even placed some of us in retirement. And we can reach out to those people who are in retirement. And just like Levi reached out to his fellow publicans with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Levi was made new. Let's read again. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's go to our final one. I know that some of you want to go to the toilet. Just wait for a while. The new versus old. And the Lord Jesus Christ continued to tell the scribes and the Pharisees. And he spake also a parable unto them. And this parable has an analogy. This parable has a semblance to make very, very difficult things simple. That's what the purpose of this parable is. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. You say, what does this all mean? New cloth patch on old cloth will tear. Why will it tear? Because if the new cloth is used to patch an old garment, and what happens to the old garment? The old garment has been washed and washed and washed and washed and washed. It has shrunk already. No need to shrink anymore. And also it's quite brittle and it's pretty old. But the new cloth, and when the patch, the new cloth becomes wet, when the brown color, the deep dark brown color becomes wet, it shrinks as it dries and it puts strain on the old garment. The tear becomes worse than it was. So Jesus is saying that you people in the natural world, you already know this, that the new cannot just be gone onto the oil, and it will just tear, it will break. Then the scribes and Pharisees must be thinking, did we ever mend our clothes before? Maybe they could not fully understand that, but the next one they will understand is wine. Verse 37, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. So we'll look at 37, 38 first. What does that mean? What is this wineskin? Wineskin, well, that's a picture of the wineskin. And this wineskin is very old. In Jesus' day, people used animal skins like goat skin for storing liquids, for storing wine. Fermented drinks like wine expand. Why does it expand? Because there'll be alcohol and it will stretch. It becomes bigger in volume. And since an old wineskin would have already been stretched to its limit, and now you're going to put the new wine in, and the new wine will expand, that old wineskin will tear. And what will happen? This is why new wine needed to be preserved in new wineskins, because when new wine go into new wineskins, when the new wine ferment and expand, the new wineskin can also expand, it will not tear. As the wine expanded, the new skins would also stretch to accommodate it. So, here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 37, new wine into old bottles, both will be gone. The old bottle will be torn, spilled. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Now, first and foremost, the Lord Jesus Christ is not talking about the old bottle as the Old Testament. No. It is not about that at all. And I'd like to read to you in Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That part, the Lord Jesus Christ is not referring to these old bottles. These old bottles are the scribes, the Pharisees, with their old Judaism that has all kinds of man-made traditions and put in and forced upon the people to the extent that it has just become so laborious with all the kinds of traditions, 100 over traditions that were added on to the extent that they could not even see the Lord Jesus Christ as God. That's how bad the old bottles were. And that's how bad the whole old Judaism with the man's traditions and the scribes and the Pharisees, they have led the people astray. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. In Christ, you can see the fulfillment of the law in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ was born for us. He lived a perfect life for us. And later on, he's going to die for us. And he's going to rise again for us. And he will come again for us. So that the scribes have not seen that the Lord Jesus Christ died. And here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ seemed like the new wine, seemed like the new cloth. How can I patch it over the old, which is your Judaism and your man-made traditions and all those nonsensical way? No. And if you were to think, scribes and Pharisees, you've drunk the old wine, right? And you always think that the old wine is better? New. So here it is. I'd like to read to you this that was mentioned by the late Dr. R.C. Sproul. And I thought that he put it very well together. And Dr. R.C. Sproul is a Reformed Presbyterian theologian. He said, what Jesus was saying is simple. You can't take the kingdom of God and the arrival of Jesus and simply put it on top of the Pharisees' traditions. It won't fit. Something new was happening. There was a new covenant. Yes, it built upon the old, but it could not be absorbed totally by the old. You must have a new aspect if you're going to fit into the new covenant. And by extension, you can't have Christ and squeeze him into your old life and expect that to work. How many of us are still using our old wine skin? Made new. Jesus cleansed the sinners, made new in Christ. Let's read this last time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And therefore, this newness in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is motivated by God's love and God's grace. And it's all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't mix our new way of life in Christ with our old mindset, our old religion, our old perspectives of life, our old aspirations, our old goals in life, our old definition of success, our old lifestyle. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are now going through the process of sanctification. We grow to be more Christ-like. So finally, because today there are like four of these, finally, we come to the conclusion. We have done with the leper, the paralyzed, the tax collector, and the new versus old. First, this is the final conclusion, that we are all sinners. We have rejected God, our Creator. We champion the me, myself, and I. We champion my way. Champion it no more, brothers and sisters. Be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior today. Admit that I'm a sinner who rejected our Creator God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as God, my personal Lord and Savior. He rose from the dead for me, and commit my life to obey Him, reading His Word and obey Him. And we thank God for cleansing us of our sins. We are made new in Christ and motivated by God's love and God's grace. And before we sing our final hymn, the author of this final hymn, our great Savior, has based his lyrics on this entire thing which we have been considering this morning. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He, my strength, my victory wins. Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows over me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high. Storms about me, night overtakes me. He, my pilot, hears my cry. And we fully trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, and we thank Thee for the way Thou hast guided us in the understanding of Thy word, in the account of the leper, in the account of the paralyzed man, in the account of the tax collector, and in the account of the new in the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us and lead us forward to obey Thee and leave our consequences of our lives to Thee. Through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we pray. Amen.